Everybody get...
Welcome to the latest episode of After the Reds. I am your co-host, Brain Antunes of Row3.com and QuietEarth.us, joined today by fellow co-host
Dale McGladry. I guess Digital Doodles. I can never pick.
That's okay. You can do multiple. You don't have to pick just one.
Yeah, some co-op radio stuff and some other stuff that eludes me at the moment. So we'll go with that. I'm just really on the ball tonight.
Boy. That is A-okay. It's sunny out. We should really be sunny outside out, yes. Or something. But
the wonderful Group 42 in the North Shore Mountains.
That is very true. It's quite
or
nice.
Or I should say Studio 42.
Studio 42. It's looking very nice out the window. It's quite good. We are Colleen-less, as you can tell. It's always sad when we're Colleen-less.
Sad panda.
Very much so. But I'm sure we'll hit her on the next one. The next one will be a big one. September is always a pretty busy month.
Yeah.
But there are movies, not as many as I thought.
No, it's a really... And especially, like, where did all the summer movies go?
This is what I'm thinking. And then I realized that, like, Thor opens in November. I'm like, is there anything else buried in November that I don't remember? I don't know, maybe?
In November, you're starting to think about some of the big Christmas releases.
Yeah, like Star Wars. Yeah. I'm assuming there's a Star Wars movie.
I'm sure counting on it, yeah. I can't honestly remember which one.
No, at this point, I don't even honestly care. I'm assuming that there's a Star Wars movie because it's become the Disney territory, right?
Yeah.
Christmas Star Wars. Okay.
Well, this is the canon one, or not the canon, but the main story, isn't it? Like, weren't they going to alternate you? Boy.
Sure.
Dan would be so mad at us.
Probably.
Man.
It's a good thing that he probably doesn't listen. I don't actually know what he listens to at the gym. So maybe he does and doesn't tell me. I'm not sure. But, that's not to say that there aren't some big movies opening in August.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, the very first one we're going to talk about.
Yeah. So let's jump right into August 4th and The Dark Tower. This is Nikolai Arcel's adaptation of the Stephen King tome.
That everybody seems, I haven't read it, but... Everyone seems to be bonkers for it has.
I've seen this trailer I don't even know how many times. I've read the first book. I still don't know what the fuck is going on. And I'm not even kidding. Like, I quite honestly don't really understand what's going on. I know that it's this, like, westernized, fantastical world. There's, like, it's like the beyond and the present, and there's a rip in reality.
There's an alternate dimension.
The universes are colliding, and Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey are, like, one is a good guy and one is a bad guy. And I just, like I say, I've seen the trailer a bunch of times. I even read the first book, but this is how much I enjoyed the first book. I quite honestly didn't understand what the fuck was going on. So I kind of left it. I'm like, not for me. Move on. I still don't know what the hell is going on with this trailer. It looks cool.
I took it at face value. The trailer I watched anyway was, alternate reality kind of thing with intertwined destinies and like very epic fantasy kind of stuff. And took it just at face value. I don't think, like you say, the book is like a huge.
Well, it's because it's a series, right? So there's
I'm happy to watch it as the movie.
Yeah, I don't know how many books there are. And I mean, the thing to keep in mind, too, about this project is it's been in development forever. It was going to be a series, and then it was a movie. Then it was a series of movies, and then it was a movie that would kick into a series. And then, you know, Ron Howard was attached, then Ron Howard wasn't attached. And it's just been like, in the years that I've known about it, it seems to have gone through all these different variations. So the fact that we're getting a movie, and the thing is, like, we've seen the trailer and people got excited, but it's not like you see the trailer everywhere and you see posters everywhere. So when I saw the release date, I'm like, oh, that's here already. Okay, this is happening.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I don't know if it's good or bad. I mean, I do like the director. He made a movie, and it seems weird that he made A Royal Affair and now he's making this, because I really like A Royal Affair, but they're two very, very different movies from the looks of it. So we'll see. It's certainly a great cast.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, the cast looks really good.
Yeah. So, I mean, you had me there. I'm really not sure what the hell is going on with this movie.
We'll see what the buzz is.
Yeah, maybe it'll make more sense once we actually see it. Also opening on the 4th, I'm definitely going to be seeing this. Catherine Bigelow returns with Detroit, which is, my understanding, is the real life story of three men that were killed during the Detroit riots at the Algiers Hotel. It looks like a fairly, like, wide-ranging cast of characters, and it seems like she's casting a pretty wide net about the events that sort of surrounded what happened and the time.
You know, if this wasn't directed by Catherine Bigelow and I just watched the trailer, I probably wouldn't be interested in it.
Oh, really?
The trailer did not grab me at all. Just the content matter I'm really interested in. But the trailer and just the style that the story was presented in, I'm not so sure. But I've enjoyed other Catherine Bigelow stuff, so I'm kind of like keeping an open mind.
When I saw this trailer, for whatever reason, the first thing that came to mind, and I mean, I can kind of see where the relations are, was Medium Cool. Have you ever seen that?
No.
If I remember correctly, it's been a couple of years since I've seen it, but it's a, I can't remember if it's a documentary or like something kind of in between. And it was about the National Convention.
Right. Which one? Sorry.
Like in the 70s.
Yeah. Where
the riots happened, yeah, and okay. It was a whole big deal.
Yeah.
And the movie is,
I thought it was, because usually when people say it that way, it's.
Yeah. And it was, if I'm remembering correctly, it was a feature that was shot like a documentary. And for whatever reason, like, it was a big deal at the time when that came out. And seeing the trailer for this kind of reminded me of that. Mostly, I think, because it's kind of a similar time period and it's also like a riot situation. But I mean, at this point, I'll just pretty much watch anything Bigelow makes. So,
yeah.
And come on, it's John Boyega. He's the guy. He is the guy. So that's looking pretty cool. But that also opens on the 4th. Another one that has my name written all over it, Step. Come on, it's a documentary about a high school dance team.
Yeah.
Please.
I was wondering if...
Please, of course I want to see this. Is this even a question?
Does it surprise you? There's no interest here.
No, not
actually,
really.
I mean, this is one like where the trailer... Like, I would love to see the 10-minute version of this because I really enjoy... Like, the dancing is great.
Yeah.
The dancing is kind of amazing. And the way they cut the trailer really, really highlighted it well. I could watch a 10-minute featurette and not be unhappy, but I don't know if I want to watch a whole movie.
But come on, all the teenage drama and all the dancing, yeah, in high school.
Yeah,
you see...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and for me, that's like, yeah, exactly. Bring it. Also opening on the 4th, Wind River. This is Taylor Sheridan's directorial debut. He's an actor turned screenwriter of quite acclaim. He wrote Sicario, and last year he wrote Hell or High Water, which was a big deal around the award season. So he's directing from a script that he's written here, starring Jeremy Renner. And it's about a woman. Oh, and what's her name?
Elizabeth Olsen.
Thank you. Elizabeth Olsen plays.
She never got top billing.
No, which is weird because she's like one of the central characters, right? At least it seems that way in the trailer.
Central character, and she's not exactly... With some of the other blockbusters she's been in.
Yeah, so she plays a police officer that's an FBI agent that ends up in the small town investigating a murder, and Jeremy Renner is like the local expert, and you know, shit happens.
Yeah, he's like a forestry officer or something, and the guy that actually discovers it.
I'm like, shit happens.
I don't know about this one, really, because... The theme in it is very much how challenging that environment is, mm-hmm. along with the whole suspense drama of solving the crime. And I just, the story, I'm really interested in the story, but I'm not sure on the screen if that's the way I want
to
consume
this,
the story.
I know this takes place on a reservation, but do they say that it's like really far north or something?
No, it's in like, not Utah, Wyoming.
Oh, okay.
It's in one of the American,
okay,
like Western states.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to dig a hole here. But the other thing about it that I was, this is just, I guess, the age of awareness now, like the fact that it's on an Indian reservation, I was not sure of the whole representation aspect of that. I've started to become more sensitive to that now, and it didn't, based on the trailer, it's hard to know just how that features in the story. So I don't know. That's another
it
one.
It certainly doesn't look like Cardinal, which I still pimp that show because it is the shit.
Cardinal was good. Yeah, I mean, Cardinal
that show
was good.
Is the shit. So, yeah, this kind of feels like it's almost in the same vein, but nowhere near as good. So
this is another one I'm, you know, keeping an open mind about, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not as keen on this one as I was on Hell or High Water or Sicario, but I mean, I'm certainly interested. It's a good cast, and I like these kind of thrillers. So, you know, it's pretty much the only police procedural type of thing I watch now. I'm always game for a good new one. moving on to August 11th. Can I just yawn really, like really loudly?
Go for it. I'll do it. Come on, together.
Bored. I'm so bored. Oh, sorry. I think I fell asleep there. Annabelle Creation.
Not in the soup. Not in the soup.
Oh, my God. Oh. Yeah, I don't even know what to say. It just looks kind of terrible. So this is the prequel. This was now the
haven't
third
we just
movie?
Encourage people to turn off their
pretty much. Like, but I mean, this is like now the third movie in this franchise, isn't it?
I have no idea.
Because I think they did the first movie and then they did a sequel. I can't even remember the name of the first movie. And I can't remember the name of the sequel either. But it was basically the creepy doll movie. Now they're making a prequel about how the doll gets creepy. But it's just not interesting.
I just don't. I follow horror least of all. So I couldn't even begin to. I just looked at it. It's like, okay, oh yeah, that Chucky.
But they do have Miranda Otto, which is kind of shocking.
Yeah, that kind of crap happens.
Yeah.
Why do good actors wind up in bad movies?
Yeah, exactly. I'm certainly like, skipping this one.
The guy that plays Deadpool, Ryan.
Oh, yeah, Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, like, God knows he had his string.
Yeah. For a while there, he only made shitty movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this one does not look promising at all.
Lantern.
I heard that. I still haven't seen that. Also on the 11th, this is the one that I'm probably going to be running out to watch, The Glass Castle, directed by Destin Daniel Cretton, who did Short Term 12 a couple of years ago. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Short Term 12 is certainly worth tracking down. It's really, really good. And it was sort of Brie Larson's breakout performance there as well.
And it's based on a book?
Yeah, so it's true based story? On... Yes, so it's based on the memoir of Janet Walls, who's a writer. She's a reporter. I didn't realize she's best known for being a gossip columnist for MSNBC.com. I didn't realize that when I read the book. I did read the memoir a couple of years back. It was published in 2005 originally. But I think when it came out on paperback, everybody was reading it. And somebody recommended that I read it because it was really good. They lent me the book. And I couldn't put it down. It is a really good read. She's a talented writer. So she had this very nomadic childhood. Her parents were kind of like...
Nomadic? I mean, based on the trailer, I would have used the term batshit crazy.
That too. But I mean, her parents were both kind of like free spirits. I think there were some mental issues with her mom. And they always... It was her and a bunch of siblings, like three or four kids in total. And they literally lived, they squatted, basically.
Yeah.
Like this was their life, squatting from place to place. And at some point she just got frustrated and left and basically forged a life for herself. And Brie Larson stars as Janet Walls. The movie looks like it kind of jumps back and forth between her now and her childhood, which is kind of how the book is set up as well. Naomi Watts plays her mom and Woody Harrelson plays her dad. Harrelson's kind of perfect.
Yeah, I think that was good casting.
Yeah, and Naomi Watts looks really good in everything I've seen from the trailer. The movie looks really good. Like, it looks really well made. I really enjoyed the book. I thought it was really well written, and it's a really fascinating story. So, I'm totally in.
This is one I'm curious about. I don't know if I want to see it in the theater, but I'm definitely curious.
At this point, I'm so far I am so far behind on movies. I could basically walk into the theater and watch anything, and I haven't seen it.
Wow.
So it's just like, you know, it's a free-for-all. I just don't even bother. It's whatever happens.
Oh, man. Our next media spew. I've already probably seen more theater movies than you have.
Oh, probably. I've seen movies. I just haven't seen theater movies.
Yeah.
And plus, it's been a really good summer, and we've been spending way more time outdoors because it's Vancouver and all. So, yeah, when autumn comes along. Yeah, when the weather gets shitty. Also opening on the 11th, The Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature.
Counter programming.
For sure.
Some great voices.
Oh, for sure. So, this is a follow up to the first movie, which I can't say I remember.
I sort of remember. I'd meant to see how it did box office wise, but I forgot.
Well, I think it may have done okay.
It obviously did okay because we have number two.
Yeah. So, this one is basically picks up where the last one left off, and all the animals are trying to save their habitat from a developer. They live in a park, and the developer is trying to build buildings. So, we've never seen that before. It looks kind of fun.
It does.
It's a Canadian-South Korean co-production.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, so it's made by Toonbox out of Toronto. And I think the reason that we're getting a second one and already a third one, which is in pre-production, is because they do really well in Asia. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's that. Hey, welcome to your Canadian programming for the month.
Nice.
So at least there's that. And it looks really, like, the visuals look good.
There were some good gags in the trailer for sure.
It certainly looks like it has its moments.
I think for adults, it's one of those things, you know, could I take a whole hour and a half?
Yeah, this is it.
Of this that. Is it.
But there you go. You got The Nut Job 2.
The Nut Job 2.
For my bit of comedy this month, I will go Ingrid Goes West. Thank you very much. I am not an Aubrey Plaza fan. Like, generally speaking, if you'd asked me last year, I would have said, I really don't like her and I don't like any of the movies she's been in. She's kind of been surprising me lately. So I hadn't actually read anything about this, though I'd seen a lot of buzz about the movie. This trailer is insane.
This trailer is one of the first movies I've seen that seems to finally embrace the 2010s.
No shit, right? So she plays this woman who, I don't know if she moves to LA or if she lives in LA, who is obsessed with this Instagram star.
Yeah.
And she like embeds herself in this woman's life. And then shit goes bad.
Goes bad. Yeah, Elizabeth Olsen too. Elizabeth Olsen film.
She seems to be just a supporting character here, but man, this looks so bad shit crazy. I am so in.
It really does. Like, I saw this and I went, yeah, this is, we're finally starting to see stories about this crazy social media world we live in. This could be fun. And Aubrey Plaza, like, she blew me away, her portrayal in Legion.
Yes, which is pretty much the only reason I've sort of been so giving her more of a go now.
I'm wondering, actually, if she's going to continue on the really insane roles. She seems to relish them.
Embrace it. Embrace the crazy. It works for you. I will challenge anybody that can give me a review of this movie in emojis.
Oh, God.
Do it, people. Do it. Tweet at me. I want to see a review of Ingrid Goes West in emojis. And I will try to decipher it. I am really shitty at that, but I will try. Also on the 11th... pretty much one of my favorite Simon Garfunkel songs. It gets a movie. That's what it feels like. The Only Living Boy in New York. I really, really, really love this song. It's been an earworm for like 3 days. So Mark Webb directs a newcomer who I've never seen before. He plays a young kid who's a recent college graduate. His life kind of gets, he's sort of aimless, it looks like, and his life gets a little more interesting when he meets his father's mistress.
Mistress, yeah.
Played by Kate Beckinsale. You could really do a lot worse. Really.
Well, I mean, his father's played by Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, yeah, there is that, but I mean, really. I don't know, It looks very meh to me.
Thank you. The way you were leading in, My cliche alert kept going
off. For sure. Quite honestly, the only thing going for this movie is, one, the song, and two, the cast. And I'm not quite sure I'm interested enough in the cast to give this movie's, I think, like, two-hour running time.
Oh, I missed the two-hour run. I just, you know, I love Jeff Bridges, but he needs to break out of this whole mentor kind of, like, I don't know, we should just leave it with the Big Lebowski or something. Like, you know, because there was a whole bunch of that. I thought, from what I saw of Kate Beckinsale, it's a little bit, after seeing her in so many action movies, I was really liking her. I don't even know. Like, it's definitely, I was about to say ingenue, but it's not ingenue, but as the other woman, but
yeah,
very much in control and alpha.
Yes.
Alpha mistress. I don't know if that's, like, that was really interesting, but yeah.
The only thing that gives me a slight glimmer of hope is Mark Webb's directed some good movies. The trailer just feels very bland.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean,
trailer's definitely not the movie.
Yeah. Also on the 11th, the trip to Spain, Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon are at it again. I have actually not seen any of these.
I have not been interested in any of them in the past. This one, I don't know what it is about this one. This one looked like almost maybe.
Yeah, and I know Bill and Adrian are huge fans.
Oh, they love them, yeah.
Yeah, they talk about them all the time, but they just pose no interest to me whatsoever.
Same
so
here.
I haven't bothered. And this one, same, to be honest. I not for me.
I wish I had seen it. Like, I think, I kind of feel like this is the kind of movie that you can exactly judge by the trailer.
I would think so.
And so if you look at it and you're enjoying the trailer, you'll probably enjoy the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a movie of personality. It's all about those two guys and them giving each other the gears, taking the piss out of each other, and enjoying some situational comedy.
Exactly. It just doesn't really work for me. So.
No.
Moving on to August the 18th.
Okay, this one.
Okay, I'm still not 100% sure what the plot of this movie is, even though I've seen the trailer. All I know is it stars Gary Oldman and Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson. And Salma Hayek, for good measure.
Yeah.
Sold. Really, do you need anything else?
Well, it's an action. Well, Ryan Reynolds is
he's a bodyguard.
An elite private bodyguard who's hired to protect somebody that has tried to kill him in the past. Like,
I did not get that from the trailer.
That was all there in the trailer. Oh, maybe we saw different trailers, but because there's a line in the trailer where he goes something about he's tried to kill me 16 times. No, 17 times.
I think I just sort of phased that out.
Yeah.
It does still look fun, though, I'm going to say.
It looks like a hell of a lot of fun. And it's got all of the action stuff happening and things. This could be my mindless violence action summer film.
There you go. Also on the 18th, I feel like we talked about Patty Cakes last time.
We did talk about Patty Cakes
last time. So you can listen back. It looks awesome. Maybe it'll finally open.
Yeah, really?
I don't know. Moving on to the end of the month, August 25th, All Saints. This is definitely counter-programming, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
John Corbett, is he actually an actor?
He is. He was in Northern Exposure.
That's where he's familiar from.
Okay. He doesn't do a lot of stuff.
No, because I'm like, is he a musician or is he an actor? I couldn't really tell. And honestly, I didn't look closely enough. But however, so John Corbett stars as a preacher who gets this job, and the thing he's supposed to do is close this church, which is underperforming. I didn't realize this was a thing.
Oh, it happens. Yeah. Well, it's financial, right?
Exactly. So the church is also home to some refugees, it looks like.
Well, I think what happens is they show up at the 11th hour.
Okay.
And
so he decides
to start going to church.
Yeah, so he decides instead of closing the church, they're going to use the land attached to the church to farm. And, you know, stuff happens.
Conflict ensues.
Yeah. You know, conflict, as much conflict as you can have in a Christian film. I don't know. It doesn't look terrible. It's just not for me. And actually, I thought it, you know,
oh, no, actually,
it was a slightly different take on the story. I'm like, okay, this one is okay. It
looks, I would watch this. I would have to be in the mood to watch this, but I would definitely watch this on like a Saturday afternoon where I just knew I needed something a little bit positive. Like, that's why I watch shows like The Good Witch. It's like, I know it's going to have a happy ending.
Exactly.
Sometimes I need that.
Mm-hmm. Also on the 25th, Polaroid. And I can't help but think that I've seen this movie before and it was called something else. And I can't remember what it is. But I vaguely remember that, what's his name was in it? Josh. Is it Josh? I can't remember. I'm not even going to bother trying. One of the guys from Dawson's Creek.
Oh.
So this is the story about some teenagers who find a Polaroid camera. The camera adds these shadows to the picture, and then the people in the picture die.
I feel like this one might have got pushed back, too. I don't know. Or maybe I'm thinking of that other film, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure I've seen this movie before.
You know, fill your boots, not for me.
I didn't totally write it off because it doesn't look absolutely terrible. It just looks just uninspired. So, I mean, if I'm really bored one day, I may still watch it. It is what it is. Also on the 25th, Tulip Fever. I'm not actually convinced this is opening on the 25th. I know that and the reason I say that is I remember that when we talked about it in like February or March, they had pushed the release date closer to awards season to give it an awards push. And it still seems too early for that.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
So that's why I'm kind of like, is this actually happening or not? But I couldn't find any indication that it's not happening. So we're going to go with it for the time being. So Tulip Fever, this is an adaptation of a novel, stars Alicia Vikander, and oh my God, what is his name? German dude.
Christian Waltz.
Yes, yes.
Christoph
Waltz.
Christoph Waltz, who doesn't have top billing.
Well, he's not really the central character.
Galifianakis got billing over Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, it's really Alicia Vikander and Dane DeHaan's movie. So
yeah.
Vikander is married to Waltz. He's much older than she is.
Yeah,
he's commissioned a painting.
She's basically bought into slavery.
Yeah, so DeHaan is the painter that's been going to be painting her, and obviously she has an affair with him, and you know, shit happens. It looks bodice ripping. Great. Bring it on. Costumes, painting. What more do I want? Nothing. It's everything right there.
Got nothing.
Oh, man. It looks so good. But again, I'm still not convinced it's happening. also on the 25th, Beach Rats. I just saw this trailer for the first time, and this movie looks kind of awesome. So it's about a teenager in Brooklyn. He's struggling with self-identity. He's got a girlfriend, but he thinks he might be gay. It looks kind of rough and kind of tense and really, really well shot. I really love this trailer. It's really good. Kind of totally caught my eye when I saw it earlier in the week. So I instantly put this on my watch list, I must admit.
It looks really well produced. Not really my kind of film. Not the subject matter is really interesting, but the style didn't excite me.
Yeah, it looks really like kind of rough.
Yeah, it did have a real raw feel.
Yeah, which is one of the reasons I really like it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And closing off the month, Gook. Now, my understanding is this is opening on the 25th and then rolling out to theaters across the U.S. In the following weeks. It's actually directed by Justin Chan, who's probably better known as an actor. He was in Twilight, I think, at least three of them. The three where the humans actually showed up. So he also stars. It's a period piece that takes place, I think, in like the, I'm going to say the 90s, maybe it's the late 80s, mid 80s. I don't actually know what the period is.
It's the OJ riots, isn't it? So
is it? Okay, because I couldn't quite pick up on that. So that would have been like the late 90s.
I think it's one of the big, yeah, it was one of the big riots. I don't know why I thought OJ. Maybe I just assumed that.
So it's it looks like a really interesting story basically about, you know, culture.
Oh, sorry, Rodney King.
Oh, okay. So that would be the 80s then.
That would be the 80s, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a really interesting take on, you know, culture in L.A. You have African-Americans, the Koreans.
Koreans, yeah. I remember hearing about that on the news.
Okay.
And, like, the demographic mix in the neighborhood. And yeah, like this movie jumps out at me because, yeah, it is basically about two ethnic groups that we don't hear
very much about.
Very much about.
Yeah, and it's really, it's very striking too. The trailer's in black and white, and it looks like a really interesting film. And honestly, I'm all for more diversity on screen than behind the screen. So
yeah,
this is great. I'm really looking forward to seeing this. That's the month.
That's it, man. I still can't believe how
now, light it is. If the stuff that I haven't seen stuck around long enough,
yeah,
I might actually get caught up.
There you go.
But that's unlikely to happen because, you know, the way things are, it's like if you don't see it in the first 2 weeks, you're not seeing it on the big screen.
Oh, sigh.
Pretty much. So let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff that's playing locally. There is some interesting things going on. So the Van City's got some interesting titles because they're not all necessarily new. Black Coat's Daughter, this is Osgood Perkins' second film, if I'm not mistaken. He's, of course, Richard Perkins' son. This is a great little horror movie. I rather enjoyed it. Playing August 4th and 6th at the Van City. Recommend it. It's pretty great. A very atmospheric, great score. Risk is also playing at the Van City. This is Laura Poitras' new movie, the documentary about Julian Assange, playing August 4th to the 10th. I wasn't quite as much of a fan of this as her other films, but it's still definitely worth seeing. In Transit, which, if I'm not mistaken, was Albert Maisel's last film before he passed away, is playing August 11th to the 17th. Rumble, The Indians Who Rocked the World, is playing August 11th to the 17th. This is a documentary about Native American musicians. So I think that sounded kind of neat. So there's that. Dave Made a Maze, playing August 18th to the 22nd. I really like this movie. It's super inventive, not at all what I expected, and just a lot of fun to watch and really kind of touching too. So recommend it. If you haven't seen this one, it's worth tracking down. The Girl Without Hands, an animated film based on Grimm's fairy tale, but it's very dark. It's recommended for 19 plus. So that'll give you an indication of maybe not a kid-friendly movie. Playing August 25th to the 31st, and I am definitely going to be checking that one out. And they are screening a 40th anniversary screening of Saturday Night Fever with the director in attendance.
Wow.
So it turns out that John Badman has been really busy working in Vancouver for the last couple of years. He shoots a lot of Supernatural. He directs Green Arrow and a bunch of other CW shows that are shot in town. So I guess they managed to get him in while he's here.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so they're doing a screening and Michael Vandenbos is going to be doing the Q&A afterwards with the director. So that's kind of cool. So that's Saturday, August 12th at 7:30, and tickets are now available. I'm fairly certain they'll probably sell out. I may try to go to that because I really like Saturday Fever and that'd be kind of a treat. So I'm going to see. I'm going to definitely try to put that on my calendar. Moving over to the Cinematheque, August is their month of noir. So they have their film noir lineup. It's very long. They have a bunch of titles, but I just picked a couple that I either have seen and liked or want to see. So Double Indemnity, Maltese Falcon,
oh, yeah,
which are both great. I have never seen Gun Crazy, though everybody says it's worth checking out. Never seen Dark Passage, which also looked really great. And Kiss Me Deadly. So, and they have more titles, but those are the ones that kind of stood out to me. And that's August 3rd to the 24th. And then they have this noir sidebar, Hard-Boiled 50s Sci-Fi.
They're playing them.
Them and the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers, which is kind of awesome.
Eh.
Well, I thought that the fact that they're playing both of those films is kind of cool.
It is cool. Yeah, no, it is cool that they're playing the 50s Sci-Fi.
Their Sunday cinema this month is Meatballs, which Dan got really excited about until he realized it was on a Sunday and he'd have to go downtown and contend with the fact that it's free and a bunch of people would be there. But obviously, it's Meatballs. It's kind of awesome. And then the Rio. I did this one by date because their films pretty much only screen once. August 7th, which is, I guess, the long weekend. They've got Grave of the Fireflies, Tokyo Story, and Monterey Pop 50th Anniversary. August 10th, they're doing the Kurt Russell double bill of Overboard and Big Trouble in Little China. Overboard, dude. That movie, man.
You're kidding me.
No, that movie is so bad.
Not the one I would have chosen.
No, it's terrible. Overboard is legit terrible. It's a bad movie. Yeah. Like, I don't understand what they were thinking. Like, it's a terrible movie.
Oh, the whole premise just is like skin crawling.
Well, and it's just a bad movie. Like, it's not even, like, I don't think it's watchable. It's so bad.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I have watched it.
I saw it once and I refuse to ever watch it again. It's really bad.
Big Trouble in Little China, man.
Well, I know. But you figure with all the movies Kurt Russell was in, you couldn't find something better? Like, really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm with you.
Yeah. August 12th, 2001, A Space Odyssey. If you haven't seen it on the big screen, here's your chance, I guess.
I mean, oh, sorry, just back to that. Yeah. Like,
Dale can't get over this.
Escape from New York and Big Trouble in Little China would be amazing.
The Thing, dude.
The Thing, like, if you wanted something more modern.
You
could
pick almost anything and it would work.
Okay, yes, 2001.
2001, August the 14th, Heavy Metal. I may actually try to go to that screening because I really love this movie. I legitimately really like
it. Really?
Yeah, it's a really, it's... Yeah, I really like it.
I have seen it a couple times. Yeah,
I quite like it. It's just totally over the top and totally crazy, and I really enjoy it.
Yes, it is.
And and it's Canadian, so you know, can't go wrong. And finally, August the 19th, they're doing a double bill of Alien and Aliens, which is always kind of fun.
Yeah, that's a cool pairing
for sure, for sure. And that is Vancouver for the month. That's it. We're done. How was that?
Man, I hope we have good weather in August because
Netflix is going to keep us busy, I'm sure.
There you go.
There's a bunch of stuff coming to Netflix that I'm sure I'll have to watch. So there's always that. Well, I think that's it for this time. So
that's it.
Yeah, come on by the website. Check out all the links to the trailers and stuff. We'll have some show notes for you. And we will be back in a couple of weeks with the Media Spew.
That's right.
Woohoo. So until next time.
We'll see you after the credits. Just because.